Turn in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter. We've been talking about the questions of Christmas. And a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about Zacharias, how can I be sure? And then last week, we spoke about Mary asking, how will this be? And this morning, we want to ask the question with the wise men, where is he? Where is he? It's that time of year, everybody's doing their shopping. It seems that a businessman, when he was on his way home, wanted to buy his wife something for Christmas and stopped and asked about cologne at a store. And the lady brought a bottle of costing $100. He said, that's a little bit more than I want to spend. And so she brought a smaller bottle that cost $50. And he said, that's still quite a bit. And so she was kind of annoyed and got a tiny bottle with that cost $25. And he said, what I'm really looking for is something that's cheap. Show me something really cheap. So she handed him a mirror. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us, God. Thank you that you are with us, Jesus. When we ask, where are you? We know where you're at, Father. But Lord, there's a cry in the world this hour. Where is Jesus? And all that we're facing, where is Jesus? Things are happening so quickly, changing so quickly. Father, we pray that that we would be able to point the direction and show you to the world. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't get the news, but I just before I came to church this morning, I saw that three states had shut down malls because of bomb threats. And there was a man that was killed in the Pocono Mountains at a mall wielding a knife. And so danger and threat of violence are everywhere. How many know it's changing so very quickly? And it's not a time for us to be anything but watchful and prayerful and show Jesus at every turn. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1 says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For he have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for you out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back a word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Very little of what we celebrate these days have anything to do with Christmas or have anything to do with the birth of Christ, everything to do with Christmas. How many know no mention of any donkey is mentioned in any scriptures? Mary did not ride on a donkey. Most likely because of the trip, she rode in a cart. No mention of an innkeeper. There was no innkeeper. It wasn't an inn. It was a family dwelling. No mention of the stable was not a stable as we think, a barn. It was probably a cave that Christ was born in. There were not wise men at the birth of Christ. They came later. He was almost 2 years old by the time the wise men got there. And they were not kings. We three kings of Orient are. There were no kings. The Pope Pius XVI, I think, said that they were kings. So that's a Catholic tradition. Much of what we celebrate has nothing at all to do with the birth of Christ. Matter of fact, it's probably the wrong time of year. He probably wasn't born anywhere near this time. More likely in April of the year. And so, but we take this time to set aside the and honor Christ at his birth. But I want to ask the question this morning with the wise men, where is he? Question of the Magi is being heard all over the world. All over the world right now, people are asking, where is he? Some are asking that of God, wondering. Even Muslims and Jehovah's Witnesses, and it doesn't matter what religion, everybody's asking, where is God? But our question this morning is, where is Jesus? Because wherever Jesus is, how many know God is? We're asking in a kind of a neutral way, where is God? But we as Christians need to point out and to make this generation understand that Jesus is here. He hasn't left. He promised he'd never leave or forsake us. He's in charge. He knows the times and the seasons. He's directing all things, even though when it looks confusing, Jesus is still in control. We see in verse 2, they ask, where is he who has born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. They were looking for a king. They weren't looking for a king of Christianity. They were not looking a king from the kingdom. They were doing the same thing all over the world. Looking for somebody to take control, because the Roman Empire wasn't doing such a good job. They were doing good jobs with roads and everything, but they were kind of a oppressive government. And so they were looking for a heavenly king to come. The Greeks were thinking about the gods of the air, and these wise men that came were most likely trained. Their ancestors were trained by Daniel. And when Daniel prophesied the coming of the king, that was passed down from generation to generation, but they were looking for a king. In John chapter 7, if you'll turn to John 7 and 10, John chapter 7 and verse 10, John 7 and 10, there is a question again, but when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. The Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And so they were asking the same question. Of course, they were looking for a miracle worker. How many know that people are looking for a king even today? People are looking for somebody to bring all this chaos into order. And they're also looking for a miracle worker. Well, we've got the answer to both. We serve a king, and he is a miracle worker. One of my prayers as Terry and Ruth Ann were sharing was that the power of God would come to that camp there at Joy in the Harvest. That people that were stricken with disease would be healed. Because he's not only a king, he's a miracle worker. God is a miracle worker. John Fearnow would say this morning, he's a miracle worker, wouldn't you, John? Looking over here at Tom Bahota, Tom would say he's a miracle worker. Back here with Barb, she would say he's a miracle worker. And in John chapter 9, verse 11, just flip over a couple chapters there, John 9:11, he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. And then they said to him, where is he? They were looking for a criminal. They were looking for a criminal. Jesus had broken the law. Jesus had did something outside of what they expected. And so I believe that many are looking for somebody that they're going to blame all this on. There's been a hate towards Christians. There's been a hate towards those of us who simply want to stand on the Word. Homosexuality is wrong. Killing babies is wrong. Living together is wrong. Sinning is wrong. And so they're calling us criminals. They're calling us hate mongers. They're calling us homophobes. They're calling us all sorts of things. The same Jesus that spoke the Word said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. They're looking for a criminal even today. They're calling us criminals. Herod was not unlike some of the world. Herod didn't want any threat to his throne. As soon as he heard the words out of their mouth, we're looking for the king. Where is he that was born king of the Jews? He said, wait a minute. We only have one king. Caesar's in Rome and I'm the king here. And so go. And we know that some trouble arose out of that. Did a little bit of studying. I want to take just a little bit of detour. A word about the star this morning. I'm interested in that. Did a little study on that. And not as exhaustive as I would have liked, but it rose in the west. It's interesting. Stars do not rise in the west. They rise in the east. Traditional pictures show the wise men following the star over the desert. The star appeared during their travel from the east, but actually, historically, they didn't follow the star all the way from the east. Matthew 2:9 says the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. So actually the star appeared after they arrived. And how could a star go before the wise men? Bethlehem is to the south of Jerusalem, and stars, I'm told by astronomers, do not travel south. They move west. The Greek word I found out for the star means a strewn light. And I did a little study, the same as appeared to the Israelites in the desert. So what they followed was the glory cloud to the house where Jesus was. Hallelujah. Wasn't a star at all, it was a glory cloud. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Pillar of fire that stood over the Israelites for 40 years, that's what guided the wise men. What do we know about the wise men anyway? They were magicians from somewhere in or around Persia, it's supposed. And again, their ancestors were trained by Daniel. Popes and historians have numbered, named, and even crowned them kings, none of which is true. It's complete conjecture. They were from the eastern kingdom of Persia. And again, hundreds of years before Christmas, God sent a holy man, Daniel, to the eastern peoples to prepare their highest caste, their wise men, to respond to the birth of his son. God communicated to the wise men that the Messiah would be king and God, and that he would come to die. Through a combination of Daniel's leadership, Hebrew scripture, and the tailor-made revelation of a star, it's interesting that the wise men knew more about the birth of Christ than the Jewish people. They came, they traveled 2 years to get there, and the birth of Christ went mostly unnoticed by the Jews. Matter of fact, he was born and almost 2 years old by the time the wise men got there. They didn't even know that anything had happened except for a few shepherds. But these were wise men that studied the heavens, and they also used sorcery and witchcraft, by the way. They had a little blend of both. But it's not unlike what's happening today. It doesn't take a believer full of the Holy Ghost to know that we're coming to the end. If you remember when John Chiver was here, they did a poll on the street, and almost 60% of people, no matter if they're Christian or not, said we're coming to the end of the world. These wise men knew that Christ was going to become a king, and they came most likely to curry favor at the outset so they and their countrymen may be blessed when he assumed his throne. They were looking for the Son of God to come and establish the kingdom on the earth, not unlike many today who become Christians every December. Seems every December, everybody's a Christian. Oh, we want the manger scene. We want Jesus. Don't say happy holidays. Say Merry Christmas. But in January, nobody wants to talk about Jesus. Come on, somebody. We spend a lot of time asking the world to line up to what we believe. And most of what we celebrate, and I don't want to be a Scrooge, but most of what we celebrate has nothing at all to do with the kingdom of God at Christmas time. But we get all religious and we want people to do exactly what we want them to do. We want unbelievers to recognize somebody they don't believe in 11 months out of the year. We want everybody to be Christian. I don't care what you do January through November and you know, but in December, I want you to be Christian. I want you to declare Christ. Don't say happy holidays to me. Say Merry Christmas. Come on, somebody. What sense does that make? Just saying. A lot of people hedge their bets by pledging their love for the baby and disdain for life, living a life of sacrifice to receive him as king. But we need to bring some kind of a balance to this. We need to be concurrent the year out, the year through. We need to declare Jesus the year through because we know where he is. He lives in my heart. Come on, somebody. It's not about the birth. It's not about those kind of things. It's about Jesus the man. And you know, it's interesting that they came asking where he is, and God sought man in the garden. In Genesis 3:9, God called Adam as a representative of mankind. He said, Adam, where are you? Man was seeking God as a representative of heaven. Where is he? And the two were brought together. The intersection is what I want to talk about for a few minutes, because God is looking for believers. My Bible says he looks to and fro across the earth seeking someone full of faith, someone to respond to him. And I believe that question is still coming from heaven. Adam, where are you? Mankind, where are you? Where are my children? Where is my church? And we're asking at the same time, where are you, Jesus? We spend a lot of time asking Jesus for what he already did. I say we could use a little flavor of the wise men. We kind of pass by the importance of what Jesus is all about. To the wise men, of course, they traveled following a star, and their question was posed to Herod, an unbeliever, who was greatly distressed. So we have unbelievers asking an unbelieving king, where is he that was born as king? Of course, we know what happened, got in a lot of trouble because they came and asked a king. Herod got upset. He ordered the slaughter of anyone 2 years old or younger. He murdered to find Christ. God died to find man. Down through the ages, there's been violence. There's been all sorts of things in the name of God. There's been violence. There's been all sorts of things to stop the name of Jesus. My question, I guess, to us is, where are we and where is Jesus? To the wise men, it took 4 years of their lives going and coming. I love the backstory. I wondered what they said when they got back to Persia. Hey, we went, the star hung over a house. By the way, how many know stars don't shine over a house? They shine over an area. So anyway, the glory cloud was there, and they went and they worshiped the king. And they came back. I wonder what they had to say. I wonder what their conversations was. I wonder if their families changed. Certainly, it was a precursor to the gospel of Jesus going to Persia. Certainly, it must have been 30 years later. There must have been some seed of planting. But my question to us is, where are we and where is Christ? And I believe there are questions coming forth from this generation that are cast upon the waters of confusion. Everybody's so worried. I just, again, maybe you know more about it than I do, but again, I heard that shopping was shut down in three states and three different areas because of bomb scares, and people were distressed because the shopping season was closed down. They were under distress because they couldn't go buy their, their dad a shaver or something. I don't know. His self-appointed representatives, some of the self-appointed representatives of Christ, have muddied the waters with false prophecies. For the love of money, they continue to prop up their predictions with obscure passages and world events. We need to answer the question, where is he? The question that's coming forth from a society that maybe not even be able to enunciate, but what they're looking for, the answer that they're looking for is Jesus. Some are even saying in 2 Peter 3:4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So they're asking, where is he? Certainly the Magi came with pure motives, but many, many innocent children paid the price. In this hour, how many know there are babies dying by the score because of selfishness? Today, with the promise of his return ringing in our ears, many innocents are also dying. Rather than try to stop a birth, the enemy is trying to stop a harvest by wiping out the unborn who would become a mighty army. And I believe God has had enough. I believe we're in the hour where God has declared war. He wants the lies exposed once and for all, that the world might have an open door to come and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Where is he? Where is Jesus? That question drove Gentile wise men from the east to travel many months to reach Christ at his home. One wonders what changed about them, wonders why they did what they did and took that many. It's said that they probably came with their own bodyguards because of the danger of traveling from so far away, a country that wasn't exactly friendly to Rome. They brought gifts. What kind of gifts? There was more than three. There was there was, I think, Pope Ignatius said there were 14. I don't know where he came up with that number. But there were more than three, probably. Most likely, we don't know. Everything's conjecture. But what we do know is that they brought gifts to Christ. First, they brought gold, a gift worthy of a king. The gift they were giving was the best. King David once said, I will not offer my Lord something that costs me nothing. And so they brought gold to the Lord. And when we bring gifts to Christ, how many know He wants our best, not our leftovers? If all we're giving to God is a couple of hours a week, we're giving Him our leftovers. God, I love You so much that I'm going to church this morning. And I'm going to stay the whole time, too. Matter of fact, I'm going to stay afterward and visit, so I gave you 2.5 hours and I'm done. See, Christ wants our best. They not only brought gold, but they brought frankincense. Frankincense was a symbolic gift representing our worship and praise to the Lord. If we're going to answer the question, where is He? We're going to have to reflect His glory. We're going to have to reflect Him all the time. Our worship and praise to Jesus. And then they brought myrrh. Myrrh was a burial spice and reminds us that we need to die to ourselves. He's number one in our life. Come on, somebody. And we need to show that. So I said, Christmas time is a good time to be a Christian. Everybody allows you to kind of get wild, you know, the Christmas carols. I don't know about your house, but my house Christmas carols start September the 5th, you know, and they just go all the way through to the end of the year. Anybody else? You just hear it all the time. So it's a good time for us. You know, we spend maybe a little bit of time, but where is He? He's not in a crib. He's not in a cross. He's not in a crypt. He's on the throne. But question is, we know He's on the throne of heaven. Christ dwells in our hearts. So is He on the throne of your heart this morning? I don't want to belabor the point. I don't want to take too much more of your time. But what I do want to say is, if you've got a piece of paper, would you please get it out? If you've got a piece of paper and a pen to write on. I want you to write on the left-hand side of the paper, if you're looking at it, I want you to write God. And underneath that, I want you to write spouse or family. Underneath that, I want you to write church. Underneath that, I want you to write job. Then underneath that, neighbors. And underneath that, the lost. See, what's on top? God. So we put first God in our lives. When we talk to people, we say, you know what, I would like to give you more, but God's number one in my life. God's number one, and you get the leftovers. Now, I want on the right-hand side of the paper, I want you to put God in the center of the paper, and I want you to draw a circle around it. Then, going out from the circle in little arrows, I want you to put everything on the other side against those arrows, around the circle. So it should look like the sun with rays coming out, family, job, neighbors, wife. See, if we're going to correctly say, where is Jesus, we're going to have to put Him in the center of everything. See, Jesus is number one in my relationship with you. Jesus is number one in my relationship with my wife. Jesus is number one in my relationship with neighbors or friends or jobs or, come on, somebody. And so the question should be answered very easily this morning. Where is Christ? And it was a prayer that was a cry of Paul's, and he was writing to the church in Ephesus when he said this in verse 17 of chapter 3. He says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Now that dwelling means to take main stage, that dwelling, do a study on dwelling. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So I want to leave you with this morning. I want to challenge you that Christ is in your heart. If you're a believer, Christ is in your heart. Let Him out. That's all He wants. He just wants out. It's easier for Jesus to come in a heart than it is to get out of a heart. Jesus lives in your heart and you're headed for heaven, but tell somebody. Tell somebody with the way you spend your time. Tell somebody with the way your face looks. Don't walk around looking like you've been baptized in pickle juice. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Where is he? See, they're asking the same questions, even though they don't know that they're asking the question. Where is this one that you say you serve? Outside of the bumper sticker and outside of the things and outside of the words you say or the criticisms you have or your Facebook posts, where is Christ? Where is he? And they come and they worship at the throne of Jesus. And there's plenty of room there. There's plenty of room there. All Jesus wants to do is come out. He says, let me use your vocal cords. Let me use your life. We pray prayers, God, please bless me so everybody will know that I'm serving you. He says, if I bless you, will you tell anybody? Or are you going to take credit? Come on, somebody. You know the old joke about the guy driving around looking for a parking space. God, please find me a parking space. I'll do anything. I'll go to church more. I'll do everything. And all of a sudden a parking space comes open and he goes, no thanks, God, I already found one. You'll get that later. Let's look to answer the question of the ages. I believe this, out of all the questions we've talked about, I believe this is the question that needs answered. Where is he? Because the world is scared right now. Like I said, I don't have time. When I go home, I'll probably catch some of the news. But the world is fear. The world is gripped by fear. I mean, no, my Lord can take care of any terrorist. Praise God. He's greater than all of this confusion that's around. Jesus, be real in our lives. Jesus, let's just let him out. And we're not going to stop the traditional Christmas. We can't do that. Only God can do miracles. That thing is so ensconced in our society. But let's use the excuse and talk about Jesus as much as we can. Amen. Father, this morning, Lord, we've heard so much. We're so excited about what you're doing in Africa and what your name is, that your name is being praised there. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives, Lord. We thank you that you're in our hearts. Lord, let us answer the question. God, we choose to stand and declare your name this morning. We declare your name, Jesus. Help us to do that in our lives, our lifestyle, our words, our actions. Father, that we might ask that, answer that eternal question. Father, we claim souls this morning. Lord, we believe that when we're together with family the next couple of weeks, that they might sense and know that you are Lord of our lives. And they would ask you to come in their lives, God. We want to see them there with us, Jesus. When all this is ended, when the scroll is rolled up and time is no more, we want the unsaved loved ones that we pray for so often. We pray for them again this morning. The miracles that would happen. And even those, God, that are causing and wreaking havoc, God, we pray for an epiphany. We pray for an opening, Lord, for their hearts, God, that they would know you as we know you. We thank you, bless you, and honor you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.